God's word speaks to every person at every age, at every time. He never changes it. And so what he says, he says. And what he means, he means. When I first came here, I actually tried to illustrate this in a message where Fergus was a big help to me because he became a donkey. I don't know if you remember this, for those who were here. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. In that Hebrew picture, or the meaning of it, just really means putting a blanket on a donkey. And I was talking about me living in the Middle East. If I've got it, my stress, my worries, the things that I go through, the things that we go through, is like a blanket on me in the middle of the sun. I get sweltered, I get uncomfortable, and I get edgy. And so that picture means cast all your care on him, all in capital letters. On him. Why? Because he cares for you. And sometimes you and I really struggle to put that blanket on the donkey. In other words, to put it upon God. And sometimes what we do is we just keep hold of the threads. And then we go off into our daily routine and we pull in the threads. Why? Because we've always done it. And every one of us can sometimes get into to really bad habits of this. Just look at Philippians again in chapter 4. You'll find Philippians an incredible book. If you ever get down and you get a bit despondent, look at Philippians. It's a book of joy and rejoicing, and you'll find them two words in every chapter, all four chapters. Now, Sylvia is going to put one or two scriptures up, and I'm going to cover the first two. And the other ones as they come up is for you just to jot down and look at them a little bit later on. So we're just going to follow the first two. So this is what it says, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case we didn't get that, it says, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Not just certain few. But let your gentle spirit be known to all men, because the Lord's near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. What's interesting here is you're looking at the peace of God, and then it talks about the God of peace. The peace of God and the God of peace. Is everything okay? All right. All right. No, it's fine. It's fine. No worries. So the peace of God in all this is really important. And it's often worries and anxiety, etc., that rob you and I of peace. The peace with God and the peace of God. So this is why God is speaking to everyone, every time, in every era and every age. Because his word is so true and it's so concrete and it's so so powerful. If you look at verse 10... it says these words, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. In other words, he rejoiced in God on a big scale. So you can sense the freedom of Paul, and yet he's stuck in a jail. This is where he's writing from. He had every right to be negative. Every right to moan and groan. And he's writing to the church. I want you to think about Paul this morning in his situation. He is so positive. And he's instructing a church to allow the peace of God to rule and to reign in their hearts and in their lives. So the theme this morning is the prayer is the pathway to peace. Or change your thinking about how you think. Because you'll find in verse 8 it says, dwell upon these. Dwell upon these things. We're going to be looking at that as we go on. So worry and being anxious, it can consume us, it can dominate our thoughts, it can sap our energy. I know that when I'm worrying or I'm anxious, that I can't, praise God, I find it very difficult to do that. I'm not free enough. And the reason is why, even in worship, my mind and our minds can often be somewhere else because we're being sucked dry by something else. And as I've been studying about being worrying and being anxious, you know, some things can dictate that. It can be home, it can be work, it can actually be self. We've got no peace within ourselves. And yet when our minds are free and our heads are free, we walk upright. We're a little bit different. We're not heavy. Do you know what I'm saying? We're really, really light. There's laughter and there's joy. And yet when we get a little bit anxious, or when we see other people anxious and worried, there's always a frown on the face. They always seem to be going through something. And this is what worry does. It really affects you and I. It affects the people of God. Sometimes we dwell upon stuff that's not real. Why do we do that? We dwell upon things that are not real. We dwell upon things that will never happen. We dwell upon stuff as though God's not real. And yet, God knows every thought that you and I have. And this is why I think this instruction is here. It says, but in everything, pray. So our series on prayer, I don't know about you, I don't know when we've gone into this prayer and fasting in your studies. I don't know if some of the groups have got into that. But we've been looking at the power of prayer because of who it links us up with. And then also where fasting at times fits into that. I found that really beneficial and really, really encouraging. And some people struggle so much that what they do is they go off and try other things. Instead of praying, instead of getting to know God, instead of taking God at his word, we go off and do other things because, well, I'm stressed, etc., 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 and so-and-so that said that this book is good. Or is, why don't you try smoking this? Or why don't you try drinking that? Or why don't you try a bit of yoga or a bit of meditation? Can I just say that these things are sugar-coated pills that might taste nice and look nice, but they're filled with a lot of other stuff and it often brings a lot of problems. So this is where Paul is really stressing the importance of the peace of God that guards our heart and our mind. And again, what it's saying here is God saying, let Father be Father to you. Let God be Father to you. Don't block him. God loves to be our Father. He loves to be in every detail of our life. And it's changing our mindset. And that's when we begin to think, like in verse 8, to dwell upon these things. You see, worry can lodge. Even a thought can lodge. You know them things that sometimes stick and nobody else knows that they stick. And yet God knows that them thoughts have stuck. And this is where his word comes in as a cleanser. And sometimes the worry, if you can imagine the 10 spies going into Canaan, this was the promised land. This is what God had said, that this is your land. We've got 2 spies who said, let's go. No worries. We're not bothered about the giants or the walls. That place is ours. And then you're looking at the 10 who knew God's promises and knew God's word, and they were absolutely petrified, worried to death, so much that they couldn't move. And so they couldn't step into all that God had for them, and so they decided to stay. And sometimes being worried and being anxious so much, we know what it's like. We've got to be really honest. It paralyzes us. Sometimes we can't move for fear. And all these things link together, fear, anxiety, and stress. They all link in together. Listen to Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep them in perfect peace whose minds are fixed on you because they trust in you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. I've never seen that before. And even if I have, I've read over it. Let me just say it again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Let me just talk about the power of the Word of God and believing that sometimes more than my worries, more than my anxious thoughts, more than my stresses. I'm just going to use this as an illustration. God had come into my life at the age of 21 and he began to clean my life. My life was pretty mucky and pretty dark and pretty murky. And God began to speak to me and reveal to me. And then I was still smoking. And years ago, especially through the miners' strike, because we didn't have any money, please don't hold things against me when I'm going to tell you, okay? Because this is all under the blood and it's all gone. But we used to go into the streets and pick up cigarettes and take out the backer and roll them. And if we got a bit bored, we'd put banana skins in them. Don't do that, by the way, if you're smoking. We used to put banana skins in and all that kind of stuff. And I remember still smoking. We were a coal miner. We used to smoke about 40 a day. You couldn't smoke underground where you're not supposed to. I thought smoking was all right. And I became a Christian and God began to speak to me. And I read a verse and it said these words, "Don't you know now that your body is my temple? Your body is where I live." And I felt so convicted, but in a good way, not in a condemning way, but in a good way. And I felt so convicted and I just said, "Okay, God, if that's not right, then I'm going to stop." And so I never touched a cig for 6 months. And I remember one night coming out of a church meeting and I'm walking home. Now, I had a cig for 6 months. And I remember walking home. I never gagged. I just stopped because I just knew it wasn't right. And it wasn't glorifying to God. And as far as I was concerned, my body was his temple. And I wanted to love him and follow him. And his word were very clear in my life. As I'm walking, there were a drunk in front of me. And this is what he did. He lit up a cig and he threw it on the floor. He just had one puff. And I have never seen a cigarette as big in all my life. I'm walking home and this kind of cigarette was that big. It was absolutely gigantic. I couldn't get over it. It was just in my face. Temptation was too much. And so what I did is I picked it up. Now, you've got to understand, in that day when we smoked, we just used to pass them round. You'd have a puff and you'd pass it round. You didn't think about germs or all like that. And I remember picking this up and I had a drag and I thought, what am I doing? What on earth am I doing, you idiot? I threw it on the floor and after that, I can honestly say I never ever have touched a cigarette. And I'm just using this as an example. What it was is that this word spoke to me. This word spoke deep into my life. And it changed that part of my life. And it changed other parts of my life. And many of you have had exactly the same thing. So when it comes to stuff like this, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Well, I want to, if you've got a Bible, just turn over to Romans chapter 12 and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I've no idea why I'm just turning to it because I should know this off by heart. But anyway, here we go. It says these words, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as holy and a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship." And then it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Wow, folks, this is it. Transformation by the renewing of our mind. In Greek, it means, this word transform means it's metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's this caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's the renewing of our mind. Folks, everything happens here. This is where we live from. This is where we think. It's where we make decisions. I know it's the heart, but it's where the battle is. This is why Philippians and Romans 12 are very, very important. Fear, insecurity, anxiety, they're all against our well-being. Every one of them will try to work to kind of cause a little bit of damage. The main thing is it kind of diverts us from God. Because as soon as you and I, we think about these things, sometimes, say for instance, that's my worry, or I get anxious about this. You'll know what I mean by this. Sometimes it's there. And I'm just walking in day-to-day life, and I can't get shut of this because it's everything that I think about, and it kind of blocks and sucks me dry emotionally and mentally, and it takes me away from God. So this is the antidote. This is the beauty about believing God's word, because you and I, we can quote it. We're very good at quoting scripture, but then living it and believing it and having its reality within our life, that's a different ballgame. The control, the chronic concern, worry, anxiety, it's on different levels in our life, in our youth, in our middle-aged, and in our old age. And so what God wants to do, he wants our lives and our hearts to be ruled by peace. Listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it rule. Wow. I remember a quote from years ago. He says, that means it's like a whistle that blows every time there's something out of line. Every time I get led astray. Every time I begin to think about things more than what I'm actually praying about things. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The enemy wants to rule our hearts by being anxious and worrying, etc., etc. Let me just mention something to you. If you just turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. If the enemy wants us to be diverted and for our lives to be ruled by being anxious and fretting and worrying, I want us to look at the strategy of the enemy in Genesis chapter 3. Because it says there that the serpent was more craftier than the other animals. And he more or less said to Eve, he said, excuse me, but did God say that you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And she says, God said, you can eat the fruit from every tree in the garden, but just don't touch the middle one. It's toxic and it will die. Sorry, that's a Yorkshire kind of term, but it means the same thing. Don't touch it. It's toxic and you will die. God says this positively. Listen to what God says. You can eat of any tree. Any tree in the garden, any one of them you can eat from, just don't touch that middle one. Really, really positive. The enemy comes in with the negative. Because God says if it's toxic, if you touch it or if you eat from it, you'll die. And then the enemy says to her, no, you won't. No, you won't. God's keeping things from you. God says you'll die. The enemy says that you won't. So what Eve did, she saw it, it were good, it were enticing, it were magnetic, it drew her, she desired it, and she took it. There's no mention of God's word anywhere in this. She gave it to her husband, he ate it. Adam then blamed God. Eve blamed him, he blamed her, they felt shame, they got covered up, they ran and hid, they tried to hide behind a tree. Sin separates, and what the enemy does with anxiousness and stresses is exactly the same. It somehow separates me. I don't feel close to God. And it's because it's kind of got hold of me and I can't let go of it. Matthew 6. This is what Andrea referred to right at the beginning. This is beautiful. If you ever want to talk, just look at the peace of God and what Jesus teaches. He talks about these, about peace. Okay, listen to this. If you've got a pen and paper, just jot these down. Verse 25, verse 31, verse 34. In Matthew 6, we are instructed, even commanded, not to worry. He actually commands us not to worry. This is what it says in exactly the same in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. But amazing thing is here in this one, in Matthew chapter 6, three times as he's teaching, and remember, in this setting, he's stressing that God being Father. Let God be Father. Let God be Father of you. He's stressing it's a command. Wow, and all of a sudden, that just puts a little bit of a slant on things. God would never command us to do something if we haven't got the ability to do it. Let me repeat that. God would never command us to do something if we haven't got the ability to do it. Some people look at worry and being anxious as natural. We just do it because it's part of life. And yet God says it's sin. And I'm commanding you, don't do that. Because it's no good for you. It messes up your life and it messes up your thinking. I've never seen this before. Three times he commands. And sometimes what we do, we try and excuse it and we say things like, well, it's cultural. We all do it. Or, well, it's part of my character. Or, well, I've done it for years. I've done it for a long, long time. And then Jesus in Matthew 6 turns around and he says, oh, you of little faith. Now, there's a difference between being concerned and being worried. When we're concerned about something, being concerned means that we're actually doing something about it. But being worried is different. Being worried are these things that I'm going to talk to you about just now. It's when they control us. It's when I can't sleep. It's when I can't control things. It's when I can't control my temper. I feel like I can't cope with this. That's what it's talking about. So the difference between concern and being worried is when I'm concerned, I'm actually doing something active to work through this. But being worried is actually being dominated by something. In Matthew 6, what Jesus is getting over is talking about two masters. And he's talking about, you let Father be Father to you and act upon his word, believe that more than anything else, or to be pulled apart by worry and being anxious. Because really, in the Greek, that's what it means. It means to be torn. It needs to be pulled apart. So you can see why Paul is really, really stressing here. Don't be anxious about anything, but when you are, pray. The pathway to peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Wow. Everything. Absolutely everything. Every concern that we have, every anxious thought when we're walking with God is I am to give it to him. I am to let it go. I'm going to cast all my cares upon you, Lord. The problem that we have and the cleverness of the enemy is he wants to somehow separate us from God in our thinking. And we think we've let God down. And so what we do is I'm scared to take it to God because my relationship with him is not really that good. And so what I do instead is I want to carry it because I don't feel I'm right with God. And that's even worse, so then burdens become heavier. We all do it. And this is the importance here of these beautiful words. Be anxious for naught. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, supplication's got the idea of being specific. Let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God will guard what? It will guard my heart and my mind. God puts a guard over him. These are the most two vulnerable things of my life. This is where I have heart attacks and stress levels. This is where I get a bit troubled and I get a bit puddled. And I get twisted and I don't think right. And God says, but my peace is going to guard that. And then God says, what I want you to do is I want you to realign your thinking and begin to think verse 8. Because that's a healthy way to think. That's why I've titled it again, Change Your Thinking on the Way That You Think. It's absolutely stunning. I love truth like this. God's correcting us and he's loving us. And he said, just let me be Father to you. And this is Matthew chapter 6. I know at times there's medical conditions where some people have got like a chemical imbalance that affects thoughts and increases stress. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we need to go to the docs for certain pills and medication. And I get that. But this worry and anxiety is a little bit different. It dictates, it owns you, it drains you. So when Jesus says, for this reason, this is talking about, for this reason I'm saying this, is because I don't want you to be pulled apart by worry. Don't worry about that. It's fine. It talks about in Matthew about food and life and clothes. And while Ruth's not here, no, I better not, because I'll be in big trouble. But sometimes when we go to our wardrobe and we open it up, and it's absolutely full, and then we stand there and say, "I've got knocked away." We do, don't we? Don't be worried about what you're going to wear, about your food and about your clothes. In other words, don't get worried about the wrong stuff. This is the beauty about Matthew chapter 6. And many of us have grown up to kind of be the man, kind of sort out every problem. You're on your own. You're going to be this lone ranger type. And yet here, Jesus brings in the beauty of a father. He loves you. He adores you. He wants the best for you. Listen to his word. Apply it into your life. He wants to be father to us. This is why I love church. Coming into a place like this where you and I can do life together, coming into a church where we learn how to praise, we learn how to worship, we listen to God's word. When our heads are free and our hearts clear, it can be a beautiful atmosphere to be in. And sometimes coming into church feeling heavy and then going out of church feeling totally different, because we've encountered him, we've met with him. He knows exactly where we are. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, "Cast in all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." He loves to be father to us. I was thinking about that. He loves to be father to me. And how much do I allow father to be father to me? I want you to think of someone who you think would be the richest person on the island. Tell you what, who's the richest person here? No, we're not going to that, please. Not. I want you to just think about this. I want you to think about the richest person on the island, okay? And that were your dad. Do you think you'd ever worry about money? Depends if it's tight. But you know the point that I'm trying to get at? Your dad's loving and he's kind and he's generous and he's got you at heart and he's got millions. You'd never worry about finance. And yet our God, our Father, he owns it all. He owns everything. He's always for us, always loving us, always encouraging us, always teaching us, always blessing us with his peace and his life. And praying through until peace becomes ours. Sometimes we really have to battle through to get to that place of peace, knowing his peace will guard our heart and our mind. In other words, it guards our thoughts and our feelings. Just looking at Paul. Talks about to guard. Let me just tell you what it means in the Greek. And we're going to just bring things to a close. The Greek word is called phruro, and it means to guard against a troop attacking. And that's why Paul's saying, don't be anxious about anything. Even though at times it feels like there's a troop attacking you, Paul says, no, just don't. You need just trust God. And one of the key things in this passage is thanksgiving. Sometimes you and I can come to God with, I don't know, we're negative and we're quiet and we struggle. And we can talk to him, but there's nothing being done. But when you and I begin to thank him, because we know that he's powerful enough to deal with all my anxious thoughts, to deal with all that, pray with thanksgiving. It kind of releases something within us, all these endorphins within us that do something within us. When we've got faith and when we've got trust, we feel different. Well, I know that for me. When I'm really, really trusting him and I'm trusting in his word, it's absolutely stunning. God will do it, and we won't be able to understand why we've got so much peace. And the peace of God will go way beyond your thinking and way beyond your understanding, so much peace that we can't even explain that. So this morning, sometimes we have to die to things. There are some things that will never happen that we worry about. There are some things that the enemy plants in our minds that it's too big for us and we can't shake it off. That's what we think. But God says that we can. We can shake all these things off. Let things die to you. Them things, God says, don't dwell upon them. It's rubbish, it's tossed. There's nothing that you can do to work them out. Just die to that. Die to them worries. Die to them anxious stuff. And just learn to live this verse 8 of chapter 4. You know, in John 19, I love this thought. John 19, it came to me a while ago. John 19, it talks about Jesus is on his way to Golgotha. He's on his way where he's going to die. Anybody tell me what it looked like? What was Golgotha? What did it look like? The place of a skull. Now, I want you to think about this. It's just a lovely picture just to close with. Jesus, he dies on this place, this mound, that looks like a skull. And that is where he shed his blood, right over that place. I just love the picture of that. I've never even thought of it like that. He wants to bring healing and release into our hearts and into our minds. You are only as free as your mind is. You're only as free as your mind is. Some things we have to die to. Some things we have to push to one side. Some things we have to say, I'm going to believe you, Lord, so much that I'm not going to believe that stuff again. And when it comes, I'm going to be really prayerful. I'm going to give it to you. I want your peace to guard my heart and my mind. And sometimes you and I have to make up our mind how we're going to live. It's over to us. It's our responsibility. Lord, I am actually going to live this. I want your peace to rule within my heart. And just in closing, just as we think things through. We think where we are. We think about God's word to us, about being transformed, about being renewed, about leaving some things at the cross, about some things that you and I have to die to, about allowing God's peace into our hearts and into our lives, into our minds and into our hearts.